Bible reading this morning is from 1 book of John, 2nd chapter, beginning with 1st verse. And on the third day there was a wedding in Cana at Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the head waiter." And they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then that which is poorer. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So far the reading. We probably wouldn't try to determine the number of pounds in a load of coal by using a bathroom scale. And we probably wouldn't try to measure the distance from here to the moon using a yardstick or a foot ruler. That would be grossly inadequate to try to do that. But with our grossly inadequate minds, we often try to measure God's ways and to bring him down to our thinking level where we think we can understand. And that's the way it is with miracles. We often can't understand them, and man can't understand them. But maybe we can just whittle around on them a little bit, carve them off on the edges a little bit, and bring them down where we think we can understand them. So it is with this miracle. It's available for whittling and carving and bringing it down to our level of thinking. And when we're whittling and carving, we see, we all of a sudden we come upon this idea, hey, there were dregs in the bottom of the barrels. In the bottom of those urns there were dregs. So when we poured water in them, it became wine. Simple enough. And when we hear that, we begin to think, maybe we have to defend this miracle somehow. And if Satan can keep us defending the miracle, then we may forget what the miracles were all about or what he was trying to say. What was Christ trying to say in this first miracle? Remember that his actions are at all times perfect and has a purpose. Why wine? Surely wine is not a life and death thing, and it wasn't for these people at the wedding. They already had wine. They had all kinds of wine. As a matter of fact, they ran out of wine. So why wine? Well, it was a luxury. It was something special. And so Jesus, in his first miracle, was trying to tell us something about his things for you are special. His things for you are more than you could ever need. Luxuries. Just for one moment, think about the things that you have that you don't need, that are just luxuries. And you could go on for a long time writing those down, couldn't you? Jesus showed in his first miracle that he is giving you all things to abundance. Well, obviously, that's a special message from this first miracle of his. But of course, there has to be a higher goal, doesn't there? And that higher goal has to be something probably more than earthly contentment, something that makes us feel good. Jesus had to persuade people that he was something special, that he was very special. He was not just a bread king, easy come, easy go. So earthly contentment can't really be the major goal. Our text says, he thus revealed his glory. And here's the miracles. He revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Those that try to measure the miracles can't understand them. But John did. Notice he does not make mention of the bride and groom. He does not talk about the color of the dresses. He doesn't talk about the lunches. He doesn't talk about who catered. He doesn't talk about who poured or who was the person who greeted everybody. That stuff was unimportant. Why was Mary there? Who else was there? All unimportant. The important thing John focuses on is the fact that Jesus was not a mere man, but he was the Son of God, and his powers went beyond those of man. This surely was the Son of God. Even that little incident with Mary, when Mary showed, the incident with Mary showed that Mary should think of Jesus more as her Savior than as her Son. To save mankind from the curse of sin, Jesus had to be made a curse, and he was. He had to be perfect, and he was. He also had to convince people that he was not just a flash-in-the-pan ruler, but rather someone very special. And this is one reason for the miracles. The world cannot accept miracles. They can't measure them or fathom them. They want proof. Even some who saw the miracles time after time did not believe. Well, we don't see those types of miracles today, but God tells us we have a more sure testimony, as we heard yesterday, given to us so well, the Bible, His Word. The world wants proof. It will always want proof. And when they search for the ark, or dig for the splinters from the cross, or whatever it is they're looking for proof, or ask to see the evidences of any kind of why this can all be true, we have the scriptures. We have the proof. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, we recall that even if someone came back from the dead, they wouldn't believe. So they can't measure. They can carve and do whatever they want, but they can't measure it. You, however, are blessed. Blessed because you have not seen, but you still believe. Thank God for His Word, the Word that allows you to see Jesus through the Scriptures, through the eyes of faith. We pray. Help us, O Lord, to see Your glory and to put our faith in You, our very special Savior. And as we heard in the hymn, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let's rise and join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Any announcements? Thank you. Have a good day. got your last stanza.
Oh, I saw you reach down. I think I turned it off.